to the Rockman Show. It's time for Rockman to give his opinions, his views, and his thoughts on life and rock. So grab a beer, buckle in, and get ready to rock!
Hey everybody, I'm back. It's been a while. I mean, you heard me last week, but hadn't done a show just on my own in a bit. I've been traveling. Sorry for my hiatus over the last couple weeks, but then you got a show last week, so kind of getting you back in the groove over there. And I hope you dug my hang with Rocks. A little bit different show. It's like, let's just go, I'll bring the recorder and we'll do our thing. See what happens. And we had a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I had had a few beers, and he had as well. But I think we still had a great time. Well, I don't even think. I know we had a great time. We had a really good time. And Rox is a great dude, and I look forward to some brand new Shape of Water music coming out here in the future. And hopefully Luca's better with his foot being flattened like something out of a Looney Tunes cartoon. Which is crazy. Apparently, for what Rock said, he was like in the streetish kind of, and then somebody ran over his foot. So, unfortunately, didn't get to see Luke on this past trip, but we'll see him next time I'm there in November. But all right, guys, starting out the week this week was very different. So I came home on Sunday, and I guess the craziness of me. I thought, man, Rush is playing Fort Worth, which, for you guys that don't know Texas too well, that's about a four-hour drive from Houston. And I have tickets to see him in San Antonio in September, but I think work will take me away to where I won't be able to see the show. So I was like, I've got to see the show. So many great things people are saying about this show. If you've seen the set list, it's insane. Insane. But it didn't work out this week. I bought my ticket on Wednesday. Was en route to Dallas-Fort Worth. And then got a call from my friend Lee saying, Ragman, turn around. I'm like, what happened? So apparently Rush's production equipment got stuck at the Mexico border. They just played Mexico City. And they didn't let their equipment across. I'm not sure what's going on. They didn't pay the bribes or whatever's going on. The federales are like, it's not moving. Maybe they try to pay in Canadian funds. Not U.S. dollars. Nice rim shot. Anyway, I tell you what, let's play some Rush. And it's great. I was prepping for the show, so I got on Spotify. I was like, so I was listening to this playlist, and this song comes on. I hadn't heard in forever. And I'm like, hey, I saw this on a set list somewhere. Because this is the cool thing about this Rush 50-ish tour. They're doing different set lists. Oh, man. And I was like, God, that's I gotta go. I gotta go. So, I tell you what, let's play some Rush. How about La Via Strangiator?
Thank you.
right, some classic Rush off the Hemispheres record. I did a little research. Hemispheres was recorded at Rockfield Studios in Wales. Interesting. So they were recording a couple records over in the UK before they started recording back in Canada. So this came out like 78-ish, or that's when they recorded it. But what a great record. And it just something, one of my points was I loved Alex's tone back then. Alex's tone up to Moving Pictures was incredible. I love Signals, don't get me wrong. But then things kind of changed, as we all know, for Rush fans with Power Windows, Grace Under Pressure, albums like that, which at the time I didn't like, but now I really enjoy those records. It's actually some of the later records I didn't care for. I wasn't a big Snake and Arrows guy, and I think the Something Angels record was not good, but Rush, what a solid catalog, and I can't wait to see him. So with my show, we got canceled because of the same with the border, but then they said, you know what, we're going to play the following week. So luckily, I'm going to get to see him. Again, not going to see him in September. I'll be traveling abroad, and Ragman will be on the road like I was this past week or two. But only got captured some time with Rocks. The rest of the trip was kind of nuts. So I like talking to my friends and bringing them in and getting new music and stuff like that. But unfortunately, this last trip was so insane that I didn't get to do that. I saw my friends, but it was just catch-up. So in November, when I'm back, we'll have some old friends back on the show talking music, see what they're into these days. But that said, I'm thirsty, Mr. G. John, you all right over there?
You got it.
What are you doing Triumph tonight?
Yes, you know, a good segment.
I did not authorize any segments.
Don't worry about it. McCheese did.
McCheese did?
Did I stutter?
Maybe a little.
I didn't mean to stutter, but I got a segment.
Oh, great. We got a segment with John. I tell you what, I need to drink to that then. I need to drink so I can put up with this segment. So let me pour this bad boy. Oh, it's looking beautiful. So I got this on my travels. So I'm not going to go through all the places I went, but I was in the UK and in Europe. And I actually picked this one up when I was in the UK, seeing my friend Rocks with Shape of Water over in Manchester, England over there. So this one's called, it's from a brewery called Track, and the beer is called Luminescence. It's a Gold Top Dipper. It's got Citra, Dynaboast, I don't know what that is, Citra Cryo, New Zealand Cascade, Motika, and Peachitrine. Holy cow. There's a lot going on in this beer. And what is the ABV? Drum roll, please. 8.4%. It's so late for something like this, but hey, I'm my own worst enemy. So I poured the beer in the glass from another brewery I hit. So, like I said, I hit Track in Manchester. Actually, I hit three breweries in Manchester. Track, Cloudwater, and Sure Shot. So we have some beers from them coming up on future shows. And then I went to Liverpool, where the Beatles were formed. And I went to a brewery called Asphex. So I'm actually drinking out of my Asphex glass right now. It's very cool. But anyway, enough about that. We're talking about beer here. So I poured this Track into the glass, and it's got a nice head on it. Soapy, bready, lacy, sticking to the glass, not going nowhere. And the appearance of the beer is very pineapple-y in color. It's like orange pineapple juice. Let me do a little sniff-a-rama. Oh, wow, smells amazing. Very kind of peachy, citrusy. I know it's going to be rich and creamy. At least I hope so. I'll clink to myself. Oh, that's nice. Mm, I really get the peach. Very peachy. A little bit bitter finish. Mmm, yum. John, you know what to do.
Da-da-da.
Wow. Great beer returning back to the U.S. It is so funny. My bag was so packed full of beers. I wasn't sure it was all going to make it back. I'm being totally honest. And I worry about that. I mean, you go and you buy all this beer, and if your bag gets too heavy, they get a little shitty with you sometimes. You're like, hey, man, I'm just trying to, like, bring back some stuff to another place. But TSA doesn't always see it that way. So anyway, let's play a song. Let's do something new.
Crumble on its own. Every promise turned to dust. Every word became a ghost. The smoke is rising from the ground, and I won't stop now. The sky we burn, watch it fall.
That was a band called Venus Collapse, The Sky We Burn. And I gotta say, I'm a little embarrassed for playing that. I will be honest, you know, when I'm looking to put songs in the show and find new music for you guys to hear, and for us all to kind of enjoy together, I don't always look that close. And this one had me curious. I was like, huh, that song's catchy, but I don't listen to the whole song a lot of the time. If it's a band I really love, I'll go to Spotify and say, hey, add that to my playlist. But this band was interesting. I'm like, oh, man, it's really catchy. I wonder who the guitar player is. I like his tone. And then I started looking at the video a little bit closer. I was like, think I got Duke.
What the fuck?
I don't think this is real. So sure enough, I went and looked it up and said, oh, fuck, I got Duke.
You suck.
I had this whole long conversation with Rox on last episode about, you know, hey, I can spot it pretty clearly. And I think he said in the interview, hey, it's just going to get better. Either that or he told me offline, and I'm like, I don't know. I still think I have a pretty good ear to see if it's fake or not. But apparently not. Not with this band. Not at first. But I did have my concerns. I was like, okay, the video, she doesn't really look real. there's a lot of AI shit going on in the background. And I see artists doing this and stuff like that. But when the people, you can tell it's like AI generated, you're like, okay, okay. Let's just see if they're real. Sure enough, not. But I got to say, one of the better AI, I mean, you can't call it a band. It's not a band. AI generated songs that I've heard. It almost had me. I did catch it in time, but I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't catch it soon enough because I wouldn't even played it. But I thought about ripping it from the show. I was like, you know what? I want you guys to hear and just, you know, hear this stuff and like, wow, I had no idea either. Or, oh shit, I spotted it right away. Let me know your thoughts. I'll be curious to hear back from you. Again, I got duped. So, I tell you what, let's listen to a real band now. Let's do it. Return to Dust, and they are real, people. They are real. They're from LA, formed in 2022, and kind of sound like Alice in Chains. That's kind of what I thought. But they were pretty cool, and it's younger guys here, so gives you some hope. And again, to touch back on this AI stuff, it's frustrating to listen to this stuff and then get duped. I mean, it's going to bug me all night now that I was sort of duped. I figured it out, but I was like, holy shit, man. How did I fall for that? And it worries me. It worries me if bands are going to, or younger bands, not the older established bands, but it worries me that newer bands are going to get frustrated and say, shit, man, AI is taking over music. You know, is it worth doing this anymore? I don't think it'll come to that, but there's that frustration, which I mentioned last episode with the kids and art and just being discouraged that AI is going to take over everything and they can't get a job as an artist. Same thing. I mean, musicians are artists at the end of the day. So, I don't know. Food for thought, people. Food for thought. So, I do want to admit something here. I started this show last week. Recording and then life got in the way a bit, and I mentioned at the beginning of the show that Rush had postponed the date that I was going to go see, which I was pretty bummed out, but I can make the other date. And then Geddy Lee got laryngitis. Postponement number two. They actually canceled two shows in Dallas due to Geddy getting sick and losing his voice. I think it's bronchitis, laryngitis, and stuff like that. And I get it. I mean, you can't go out there and sing like that. No way. But you almost wonder, you know, these guys are, I think, in their 70s. At this point, they got to be. Hold on. Let's do a little research over here. Oh, I miss Gladys, man. When Gladys was here, I had shit, like, right away. So Geddy Lee is 72 years old. And God love him, he can get on stage and still kill it. And the reviews on this show, like I mentioned, have been amazing. And my friend Lee was able to catch, I guess, Geddy on a couple nights before he got sick. So he said, man, it was badass. But he said the second night he struggled a little bit vocally. And again, the guy's 72 years old, and some of those notes are pretty fucking high. So it's going to be challenging, to say the least. But, yeah, so here we go again. So the next date they postponed it on was a day that I was supposed to be out of town for work. So I'm thinking, fuck. But they're like, hey, don't worry about it. We got you. If you can't make the date, you'll get a refund. But the fine print didn't say you'll get a refund only if you bought from Ticketmaster. No, I shopped around because, again, this was kind of last minute when I got back from Europe. And I was like, damn, I want to go, and I'm not going to be able to go in September now. So what do I do? So I was talking to Lee, and he's like, dude, you should go. It's going to be an amazing show. And the more I thought about it, saw these set lists, I was like, fuck. I'm going to be kicking myself so hard if I don't go to this show. So I get on SeatGeek and find a seat that's more than I wanted to pay, but it's a good seat. You can see well there. So I buy the ticket, and then when I went to Ticketmaster and said, hey, can I get a refund? They're like, well, you didn't buy this from us. You bought it from a third party. So go to them. See what they tell you. So SeatGeek told me to get fucked, basically, and said, hey, we'll help you sell your ticket. And oh, yeah, we'll keep 10% of that. Sorry for your troubles and you can't make the next show, but hey, we're really going to help you out by keeping, you know, part of your money.
You bend over. Sound like straight up your
ass. It is funny because I've seen this on Ticketmaster too. So when you go to list your ticket, they'll like give you a suggested price of what you should sell the ticket for, which is lower than what you paid every time. And my motherfucker. So a lot of people flew in from other cities, states, countries to get some early dates on the U.S. leg of this tour for Rush. They started L.A., and I think they went to Mexico, and then they came to Dallas-Fort Worth. And then they've got another leg coming up, you know, in September where I had the seats for San Antonio. We all know that story. So a lot of people got fucked, and I think from what I could tell and from what Lee had showed me, that after these postponements came through, a lot of seats became available in that arena. And I was like, fuck, man, had I known, I could have saved a lot of money and probably got a better seat. But here I am stuck with this high-priced seat. One, just one. No one else is going with me. I'll meet Lee up there. Kind of like I did with the Triumph thing, but I had two seats. I guess not like that, but whatever. So anyway, I was like, what the fuck do I do? Do I eat it? Am I potentially out? I mean, with the money I spent for this ticket and the two tickets for the San Antonio gig, I'm out over $500 if I can't sell these tickets. And I'm like, fuck. What am I going to do? So anyway, I put it up, and I did not use their suggested price. I used a price where I thought was more fair, but cheaper than what I paid. I'm still going to lose, you know, $50 or something like that. Or no, $75 at the end of the day after they get their cut. And the more I thought about it, I said, you know what? Fuck it. Maybe I could rearrange my trip. So here we are. I rearranged my trip, and I'm officially going to try to see Rush unless they postpone again. So we'll see what happens. I tell you what, that said, why don't we play another Rush song? Let's play something off their set list. So when I saw this song on their set list, I was surprised. I was like, I just had heard this on my Spotify Rush play on my way up to Dallas here, you know, a week or two ago. And I was like, fuck, I forgot how much I love this song. And then I saw it on the set list, and I was shocked. I was like, wow, this is kind of a deep cut for them. It was not a big hit or a big song that people clambered for Rush, as far as I know. But I really dug it. I did when it first came out. It's a song called Bravado off the Roll the Bones record. Let's do it. What a great song. Look forward to hearing that one live. I know I've heard it live in the past, but kind of fell off my radar as one that they played. I know they played that back on R30, but I'm not sure how often it wound up in the set list. And I think part of the reason they're playing it is that Geddy's singing a lower register, which is probably a good thing, because I've seen some footage where he's trying to hit some of the high notes and he really struggles. And I get it, he's 72 years old, and he's had problems in the past too. Let's all be honest. We all love Rush here, but Geddy has had some issues. So I can't wait to see it. I hope I do see it here in a few weeks. We'll see. We will see. One last thing I want to bring up is because my next topic is going to be talking about Kiss. Because I just got this cool fucking box set. It's Creatures of the Night, 40th anniversary. It's badass. But if you guys know your history, or rock history, or Kiss-tory, if you will, Rush used to open up for Kiss quite a bit back in the day. And I believe they became pretty good friends from what I've read. I think mainly Ace and Peter were better friends than the guys were with Gene and Paul. Because they were party with Ace and Peter quite a bit from what I've read, and I've heard them talk about a bit, but I found this funny. I've seen this a while back. I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but when they were touring together, it may have been around Hotter Than Hell. Kiss had a song called I Think I'm Going Blind. Gene Simmons had wrote it, and I love that song. It's a great song. I tell you what, let's play it real quick, and then I'll tell you a funny story of what Rush did. That was Going Blind by Kiss. That came out in 1974 off Hotter Than Hell. And I always liked that song. It's a great song. I don't know if I really paid too much attention to the lyrics. But the guys at Rush, especially Geddy and Alex, thought it was hilarious, that song. Probably it's about a fisherman that fell in love with a mermaid or something like that. Kind of corny, definitely, for sure. But Neil Peart's like, hey, you know, we should do a tribute to this song on our next album, Caress of Steel, that came out in 1975. So I'm going to play a song by Rush 3 tonight. Last one, I promise. I don't know. You love Rush. I love Rush. Maybe we'll play more. Who knows? But no, seriously, this one's called I Think I'm Going Bald off Caress of Steel. Little Rush.
my eyes just didn't seem so bright. I've lost a few more hairs. I think I'm going bald.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're not going to hear that on the latest Rush Tour 50-ish. I can pretty much guarantee it. What a great song. And I love that Neil Peart was like, hey, this Going Blind song, how about we do something I'm going bald? I love it. Awesome. Awesome. So last thing I want to talk about tonight is something I got that's very cool. If you're a Kiss fan, then you are going to be over the moon. And if Creatures of the Night is one of your favorite records from them, you'll be over the moon. This thing, I got it the other day, and I saw it, and I was like, huh, what's this? And I'm not a guy that usually will like get suckered into these special editions and stuff. But Creatures is an era that is actually the first time I ever saw Kiss. And as you know, I'm a big Vinnie Vincent guy, and there's not a lot out there with like live audio from when he was in the band. So I started looking at this thing, and it's pretty cool. It's called the Limited Edition Super Deluxe Box Set. It has five CDs and one with a Blu-ray audio. 103 tracks, 75 unreleased. So some of the 75 unreleased, some are really cool demos, and some are just like, why am I listening to this? Some of the demos are actually kind of cool where they're like, you know, talking or just working out the song. That is really cool. But there's some instrumental stuff that's kind of boring. And they're like, oh, on this one disc, why don't we play the sound effects that we used on the concert tour? I'm like, dude, I don't need that. Why didn't you put an extra track? But another thing that's really cool about this live audio, there were several tracks from the Houston date that I saw them on. And I was like, holy cow, man, I gotta have this. And it was at a good price point. The vinyl was out of control expensive. We're talking $1,000. I think the cheapest I saw was $800. I got the CDs. And I love vinyl. I was like, oh, the vinyl would be cool, but I want to hear this live stuff, and I want to hear it in my car. So CDs always work better for me. It's kind of cool. You get a little package of like guitar picks and stuff like that. A patch, a replica program from the tour, which I have the original. And this is just a little bit of a smaller version for the box set, which I'm like, fuck yeah. I don't even know what box that's in. I've got it in the garage or in storage somewhere, but be able to look through that again brought back a lot of great memories. Really dig it. And then there's this hardcover book thing that's, I can't wait to read it. I'm assuming it's going to be about the recording of the record in, you know, Ace stepping away and then Gene and Paul scrambling to get a guitar player. And then I don't know if Eric Carr is like, I want a bigger drum sound, because on that record, holy shit, when Creatures came out, that drum sound, oh my gosh, dude. You're like, what the fuck? This is amazing. Because what did he play on? He played on the Elder, Eric Carr, and the drums are just kind of dull and stuff like that. And then they have the album Killers, which was, I guess, like three or four new songs that were kind of saying, hey, we're going to get back to being a rock band again, and we're not going to do the disco shit anymore. We're not doing concept records. We're going to do a rock record. But those songs weren't as heavy as what came out on Creatures. When they put Creatures together, it's just, I think they said, hey, we want to be metal. We want to be really heavy again. I mean, for back in the day, I mean, is Kiss a metal band? No. But a really great hard rock band. But Creatures kind of teetered in that line. And a lot of it, I think, was due to the production by Michael James Jackson on that record. And the songs are just generally heavy. In dark, a lot of them. I love it. I gotta say, it's probably my favorite Kiss record ever. And I know a lot of people that are diehard Kiss fans are gonna say, it's Blasphemy. What about Destroyer? What about Love Gun? Yeah, I love those records too. But Creatures, I think it's the heaviness of the record that really drew me in. So anyway, what I wanted to do, one of the demos I heard, I'd never heard the song before, but I think I have. I didn't realize it until tonight. So I'm going to play the demo version of this song, and I wish they would have kept it like this. Because I'm gonna play the version that ended up on Asylum several years later. So this song is called Deadly Weapon. It's called the Penny Lane Demo. And I was wondering who played lead guitar on it, and I think it's all Paul Stanley on this demo. So you didn't have Bob Kulick or somebody else stepping in to play lead guitar on this thing. It was all Paul. So I tell you what, let's play some Deadly Weapon by Kiss. Let's do it. What a great song. That could have been a hit. I think if they would have like really worked on it a little bit more. Does it fit on Creatures? Maybe not. Maybe Lick It Up? Yes, Lick It Up had a little bit more. It wasn't as dark. And that's not really a dark song. That's just a good hard rocking melodic song. And I love it. I love the chorus. And I'm like, oh, shit, man. As soon as I heard it, I had to listen to that song 3 or 4 times in the car today. I was like, fucking hey, I love this song. It's a great song. So I did a little research on it, though. And I had forgotten that Kiss had a song called Love's a Deadly Weapon on Asylum. I was like, oh, yeah, I know that song. I know that record. I love that record. But I just, you know, I forgot about the song. So I put it on, I was like, oh yeah, I know that. Oh, but what? What? That sounds nothing like this demo I just heard. And Gene singing. So it's so interesting. For me as a fan, I love this, man. I hear this demo in its, I guess, infant stage that was recorded in probably 1982. And then whenever Asylum came out, I guess, it was probably 84. 586, something like that. You know, 4 years later-ish, they redo it, and it turns into a totally different song. Lyrics are different, but the chorus, all they did was pretty much keep the chorus. And then you switch who's singing the song. So, I don't know if Gene's like, hey, I love that, you know, Love's a Deadly Weapon thing. I love your chorus. What can I borrow that, but then write a new song with verses, new melodies, and stuff like that? And I guess that's how they work that way. And it's interesting. I'm curious to see what you guys think of this. I like the demo better because I know the other song, and it's a great song, but I like the demo. All right, here you go. Love's a Deadly Weapon by Kiss.
Yeah.
again, so cool to hear how songs evolve over time. If I was ever lucky enough to talk to Gene or Paul and they remembered that song, I'd be curious to say, you know, why did you make that big change? I mean, the demo was awesome. But I don't know. Maybe the producer or somebody was like, ah, it doesn't fit on this record or that record or whatever. So you never know. So anyway, before I leave Creatures, what a great record. And what a great package this is. I've got the remastered version of Creatures of the Night. Again, one of my favorite records from the band. And what an interesting record. This is a record they're like, we gotta come back. We gotta be heavy again. We gotta be relevant. We're not relevant. You know, after The Elder, no one cared. Kind of like, unless you were like Australia or something like that, Unmasked probably didn't, it didn't really do that well over here either. The last big record they had was Dynasty. And after that, it was kind of like, they were like, I don't know. You know, the hype was gone. It had died. And the band was falling apart too, right? You know, Peter leaves and Ace is on the verge of leaving. Leaves by the time Creatures is done, but still put on the cover of the record and made some promotional stuff with them, you know, on TV and stuff like that. I don't know if he ever played any of those songs until maybe he got back in the band back in 96 when they did the reunion tour. But yeah, I don't know. But anyway, real quick, the guy that, in my opinion, that reinvigorated the band was Vinnie Vincent. Okay, so the band reached out to get new writers. And I think this might be, well, I don't know. I don't want to say this. I know that they'd worked with outside people. In the very beginning, a lot of it was just the four of them. But I think as they kind of got further on in their career, they found other writers. But actually, the funniest thing about this record is two of the heaviest songs on the record, being War Machine and Rock and Roll Hell, one of the co-writers was Brian Adams. Yeah, Brian Adams. If you didn't know that, I know a lot of people listen to the show, they know. But and then a guy named Adam Mitchell. I'm not really familiar with him, but he did Creatures of the Night, Keep You Coming, In Danger. And then a guy named Michael Japp did Saint and Sinner. And then Vinnie Vincent co-wrote three songs on the record. I Love It Loud, I Still Love You, and Killer. So I was kind of curious. I mean, they, you know, back in the day, you really didn't know who played on the solos on each song. So Vinny played on Saint and Sinner, Keep Me Coming, Danger, I Love It Loud, Killer, and War Machine. So he did the majority of the solos for the record. And then Steve Ferris played the solo on Creatures of the Night and Robin Ford on Rock and Roll Hell and I Still Love You. So kind of a mixed bag. So I want to play something off Creatures before we end the show tonight. And I tell you what, it's so hard. All these songs are so amazing. But what I've really been enjoying here quite a bit lately is Saint and Sinner. So let's do that. Little Gene Simmons on vocals.
You can do as you please.
What a great song. What a great record. What a great era for Kiss. Man, I tell you what. What a... I mean, after... Again, we Unmask and the Elder, and you come out with this. I mean, can you really count Killers? Not really. It's like an import thing with like four songs. It was, we got it when it came out, but I want to say we got it after Creatures. Creatures put Kiss back on the map. Let's be honest. After that, they built. And, you know, as much as the people out there don't care for Vinnie Vincent, he is a big part of why they were able to come back. If you look at his song credits on Lick It Up, the guy wrote on almost every song on the record. With the main guys, of course. But, if his bad attitude and ego and everything just wouldn't have gotten in the way, what they could have done as a band would have been amazing. I mean, Kiss carried on and made great music after Vinny left. Vinny did his two records, which I really enjoyed. But then after that, just went off the rails. And then the music industry totally changed as well. So that didn't help him out either. But I said I was done with this Kiss topic, but I want to play one more thing off this box set. It's another demo. And I'm sure you've heard the song if you're a Kiss fan. So the first time I ever heard this song, Wendy O. Williams recorded it. It was a song called It's My Life. And that came out, I want to say that was around the Creatures era, around 82. He must have given her the song because I think he produced her record or something. Or she wasn't on his, he didn't have a label yet. I think he produced, but Ace and Eric Carr played on that record as well. I believe Gene as well. I'd have to go back and do my research. But... that song, she put out that song. I was like, what a great song. And then I found out he wrote it. I'm like, why did Kiss never release this song? But apparently in 1982, he demoed this. But again, does this fit on Creatures of the Night? No. Just like Deadly Weapon would have either. Neither song would. That album had this darker vibe about it. It wasn't like the old school fun Kiss party stuff. Those were good melodic, well, It's My Life's a great anthem, but they're in a different, musically, they're just too different, right? So could they have wound up on Lick It Up? Maybe, but I think they got on a really good writing thing with Vinny to where they're like, let's just do this, and then we'll shelve these for later. So It's My Life ended up coming out, I think, on a Kistry thing, like anthology album thing they put out a long time ago, and I got it. They finally put it out, I guess, officially on this box set they did several years ago. And it was pretty cool because they had everybody sing on it. So I wonder if it was going to be on Psycho Circus and they left it off. I don't know. But it's just a great song. So here's a demo version, which I really like this too. And had they, I guess, produced it, where it sounds like a drum machine. I don't think it's Eric Carr on drums. If it is, it's just the production's not good because it's a demo. So I tell you what, let's check this out and then we will leave this box set and we'll shut this thing down.
Yeah.
Holy shit! So good. I want to play the other version, but I've done enough tonight. I've been good. These comparisons. It's getting late in the show. But fuck it. Let's play it. This is the one they did several years later. I mean, it's pretty true to form, but full production. Let's check that out. And then I promise we're going to get off this topic and move on. There you have it. What do you think? The demo's cool, but of course the finished version's a lot better. And I did do a little bit of research, and they did actually record that to put that on Psycho Circus, but then decided not to, which makes no sense. That could have been a hit for them. Why they never released that, I don't understand. And they put on the box set, you know, several years later. He sang on it a little bit at the very end. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know. Missed opportunity, if you ask me. Another interesting thing about the Creatures record is back in 1985, they did a re-release. And they changed the cover, and then they lowered the... They messed with the production, too. So the drums weren't as big. And it just, I don't know, I think they were trying to capitalize on, hey, we're on Mavs, this is us now, you know. And then there was a whole thing that Ace didn't play on the record, whatever. But I think it was a big mistake, and then they actually reverted back to the original cover and original production of the record. So, weird thing. I mean, there's so many stories you hear out there about bands wanting to change stuff. Like, the big one was Van Halen wanting to remove Michael Anthony and put Wolfie Van Halen on some of these older records he didn't play a note on. It makes no sense. But it made no sense here either, because Bruce Kulick did not play on Creatures of the Night. They could have used a photo of Vinnie Vincent, but then they had the whole legal stuff with him. He was fired. They hated him. All that jazz. So, weird thing. But what a great record. We got a great record. A lot of drama after it was released with Vinnie Vincent. I'm just hoping that they do a 40th anniversary box set like this for Lick It Up. I know they've done a 40th anniversary vinyl version, but to do a box set with the CDs and maybe some unreleased materials, some demos, and a lot more live stuff, oh dude, I'd be all about it. All about it. Because if you listen to some of the live stuff with Vinnie in this box set, I think he was still trying to find his way with them live in the solos and stuff. And then some of the mixes aren't the best. But I think on Creatures, he started nailing it, but then he overdid it and pissed off Paul and Gene and whatever. It's what it is. But if they did a 40th anniversary box set with the same packaging, I'm in. You got my money, guys. So, I'm one of many, I'm sure. That said, that's it, and there it is. John, you didn't get your segment. So sorry about that, sir.
Yeah, fuck you, motherfucker.
Next week, it's all you.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, you'll get your segment. So, guys, just, John, can I tell them what's going on with you?
Please do.
John was on a TV show called Inside the Musician Studio. It was almost kind of like an Inside the Actor Studio, but for musicians. And why he's on there, God only knows. But we're going to find out. You know, we're not going to play the whole show. I hear we just get snippets or something like that. So I got a fax about it from McCheese. So you have that to look forward to next week. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening every week. Thanks for your support, and thanks for your comments when you send them. So I bid you adieu. But before I do, I'm going to give you one big hoes up.
Well, so much has happened over the years, baby. What a time to look back. And all of these good times, those memories, baby. The time can never turn back, can only go forward as we pass each other down that same street, yeah. Well, I feel that smile on my back, girl. Well, you know. Tonight's a night, baby. Let me show you how much you've been missed. Girl, you've been missing out. We've been waiting.